We spent the last 2 weeks in the sugya. Let's turn our attention to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Looking at Simin Sadi Gimel, at the dinim that appear in the sugya in the Avodah Zarah and the brisa that appears in Chulin and in Zvachim. Kederi Shabishu Babasar Lo Yivashu Bachav. Simin Sadi Gimel, Shulchan Aruch quotes the brisa that you have a flesh of kapak, you don't want to cook milchitz in it. Kederi Shabishu Babasar Lo Yivashu Bachav. And let's say you did. And again, the Kedem Shabish Babasa Vash Bachalav, that's already in terms of the stepping down of the pyramid from Sadi Bey's all the working way down to Sadi Hey. Sadi Bey's, we were talking about Tipas Chalav, where the milk and meat are in direct contact with no degrees of separation. Now here there's 1 degree of separation. The flesh was cooked in the pot, and then subsequently, in a different moment, can the pot be used for milk? To that too is aser. Aser to duvim bishal ba besoch meis leis aser benosinta. If you did, so it could create an iser. Again, this is the thing we saw previous week. The Shach has points out that the language here of benosinta means that we're relying on kefela. And the Shulchan Ramah right away talks about lishaer. Sarach l'sha'er, can I get a call a kaderi? You have to, when you make the calculations, shi'urim, so you have to calculate against the entire volume of the pot. So the first point there is that we're doing calculations. I mean, this is Ramal, Shitaso, and Sadikas, that Ashkenazim do not rely on kfeila. It's always going to be a question of shishim. When you do the shi'urim, unless you only use the pot for fleshiks once, and you know how much flesh was in the pot, leaving out that exceptional case, in a normal case, there's the flesh in the pot. These are the fleshes. So then you need to, even excluding a case where I've used it only once for flesh in the last 24 hours, and I know exactly how much flesh was in it. There's one kazayis. In a normal situation, you don't really know how much flesh with how much meat had it been used, so then you have to mishar keneged kol hakaderim. That's what the Vilna Gaon points out. Take a look in Sif Katan Beis. Tzarech, Kamash Kasa Paragid Anosha, Gemara in the 7th paragraph of Chulin. B'didei misharinan, your mishar, the Gemara says, against the volume of the pot. You look at the volume of the pot, say, this is a flesh of the pot, so I'm going to imagine ki'ilu, the volume of the pot wall is kol kulo meat. I need 60 times as much in the milchik contents of the pot as the volume of the pot itself. And Gra goes on to point out what we were talking about. Hainu be'eni yodua kamabala bitoch mei slaves. This is on the assumption that you don't know exactly how much meat it was used with over the course of the last 24 hours. Again, even that's a chumrah, because, again, if I know I used the pot with a quarter cup of meat, so obviously the quarter cup of meat didn't all get absorbed into the pot. There was still meat left when I was done cooking. But we would still say, I have to consider, because it's hard for us to put a number on it, so we would say, Bekule Misharinan, yeah, if I know that it was used over the last 24 hours with a quarter cup of meat, I'm going to consider Ki'ilu, and a quarter cup is less, let's not know, a teaspoon, better example. A teaspoon of meat. We're used for a teaspoon of meat, even though not all of the meat got absorbed into the pot wall, obviously, but we'd say, imagine that there's a full teaspoon of meat absorbed in the pot walls. And that's if you know. If you don't know, so then you have to imagine ki'ilu, the entire pot wall, is all flesh. And then he goes to the right, and then the group goes on to point out, as we were saying before, ukeshita so shekastav reishim and sadiches da einanu somchal ti'imu misharan b'shishim. This is like his shita, mean like the Ramaz shita, beginning with some sadiches. Ashkenazim do not rely on timas kvela. We always require shishim. Okay, so that 5-word Ramah a lot of richness there. Tzarach l'sha'er, the fact that you're actually doing shi'urim implies that we're automatically shifting to shishim, and it needs to be keneged kol hakedeva. That's one major yisod in dealing with kalim. The next major yisod in dealing with kalim, aside from maybe mishar keneged kol hakedeva, well, the first yisod is that, again, that there is blias b'kalim, and number two, that those blias can have impact even b'diavad. Number three, that you for Ashkenaz, you're looking for bitul b'shishim, and you're going to be mishayer in doing the shishim calculations keneged kol hakedera, unless you can assess, unless you can determine how much meat was used in the last 24 hours, and you're going to mishayer still keneged that. And then mishah me'eitz leis uses the sukkah of avodah zarah kodim shabishav havin osin tam liftam. If it was a fleishik pot that has not been used in the last 24 hours, there was 24 hours lag between the last time used for fleishiks and when it's subsequently used for milchiks, so then that whatever old fleishik of flavor emerges from the pot walls into the milchik food is a nosen tam lufkam, and we paskin like the daya Avodah Zarah that mutar atavshil, nosen tam lufkam is mutar. So the tavshil is mutar. The tavshil is mutter. Number one, that implies it was usher to do it. The first line is not qualified. The first line of the sif, lo yivashu b'chalav, that's not qualified. That's always true. Whether it's ben kedesh b'yishu b'vasu, ben yom ha'en ben yomo, is the Easter hishtamshus. But in terms of whether b'dieved, is there going to be impact on the food, so that depends on ben yomo and shishin. So that's what the classic question you're going to ask. The fleishiks was used was cooked in the milchik pot, or the milch is cooked in the fleishik pot. You want to, number one, determine is the kli in a binyomo, and if it's a binyomo, then you have to start thinking about shishim. That all flows from here. And again, as you pointed out last time, Shulchan Aruch is also assuming that, in addition to pasking, like the b'machri on the machlokus in the Gemara with no tam comes mutar aser, b'machri on the machlokus with balei atosfos between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Baruch. That ben yomo is a ben yomo, the dividing line is not overnight, but rather we it's more expensive. We wait for a full 24 hours. Aval, now Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, not only is the food, if it's ben yomo, and if it's ben yomo, then the food that was just cooked in the pot is potentially treif if you don't have bits of shishim. Even if it's ena ben yomos, then the food remains kosher. But how about the pot? That's the other fallout, the other b'dieved question. What do I do with the pot now? I have a fleishik pot that I just cooked, that I just used for milchiks. Even if it's ena ben yomo and the milchik food remains kosher, but the pot has to be kosher, Shulchan Aruch says. Avo hakedera asu lavashlo lo basar v'lo chalav. So now I can no longer use this pot for milchiks nor for fleishiks. I can no longer use it for fleishiks because, well, I just use it for milchiks. I can only use it for milchiks. Well, I was never able to use it for milchiks because of fleishiks. That hasn't stopped. So now it's going to be problematic in both directions. It's going to be problematic, but the same way it was usher to have used it for milchiks now, just for using milchiks. Again, it doesn't lose the status of being an Eina Ben Yomo or Fleishik with an Yisrael Chathchil Midrabanan to use for Milchik. That will persist. That will persist. And that's what the Gra points out very clearly in Sivkat and Dalad. Lo mi baya basar debelo mi chalav. The more obvious thing, even though this is a fleishik pot officially, it has a fleishik sticker on it, but right now it's more milchik than fleishik because it has a ben yomo of milchiks. So the more obvious problem is lo mi baya basar debelo mi chalav. Of course you can't cook basar in the fleishik pot. Why? Because it was just bolei chalav. Right now it is, despite its markings as a fleishik pot, it is very much a milchik pot. It's a ben, has the ben yomo b'li a milchik. I feel a chalav. I can't even use it for milk a second time. After b'li a sabatzer avak kvar meisleis, it's ready, and ben yomo. So I wasn't allowed to use it the first time for milchiks, but still, there's also chila. midrabanan, and that Isra also persists. Megalakam lechatchila asa kwan shkaz basof avodazara. Now the the Shachar already talks it out, but the Shachar is an interesting point. Shachar is an interesting point about the first line of the Ramah. The Ramah has a diuk, and the Ramah has a lot to say. Most of the Ramah's to say is about potlids, we'll get to that, but the first line of the Ramah is a comment on this. Also, Vashba Labasu Lachalav, Ramah, you can neither cook milchiks in it, nor can you cook fleshiks in it. This sounds like a tray for potlid, because it's a tray for pot. It's a fleshik pot, I use it for milchiks. The Ramah says, well, it's not really a tray for pot. It's really a power of a pot, but like power of a lechumra. Sha'ar dvarim mutter. You're not allowed to use this for milchiks, you're not allowed to use it for fleshiks, but you can boil eggs in it. You can use it for fish. You can use it for pasta and broccoli. Why? Why? So the Gra says it very clearly. Eina kedera bolua me iser bas b'chalav. This is not a tray for pot. It's just both milchiks and fleshiks, but not treif. It sounds paradoxical. Is ain hakeder bulumi iser bas b'chalav? The ain habela aser. There's no forbidden bulia in the pot. Why? Came into tam habasar kvar nifgam. If this was only used for milchiks when it was ready, ain b'nyomo fleshiks. It was aser to use it for milchiks because it is the iser hashtamshus lechatchila, because it's an ain b'nyomo fleshik pot. But when the milchiks went in, it didn't make anything treif. Not only was the milchik food not made treif, the milchik bli in the pie also isn't treif. It's just milchik. It's a ben yomo milchik next to ein ben yomo fleishik. So that doesn't create an iser. Ein ben yomo doesn't create an iser. So it's like the ironic situation, Rambam says, I have a pot which is milchiks and it's fleishiks, but it's not treif. Now mind you, if I would have used a ben yomo fleishik pot for milchiks, then it would be treif, because then it would have absorbed when the milch would have gone in and found a ben yomo a tam l'shvach of fleishiks, that would make basar b'chal, boom. But this isn't basar b'chalav, it's basar and chalav side by side.
So we're talking here about a not ben yomo, is that correct?
I was talking here about a non ben yomo. Correct, exactly. Take a look, and he continues to explain. He says, take a look at the Tosas we saw last time. Yesh lost his time. V'chein kan hachalav aser. The tchilas blias habasar hay l'shevach. He said, you're not allowed to use this pot for milchiks because this is a fleshik pot. Now, and right now it's ein ben yomo, but originally when the fleshik went into the pot, it was tchilas habliya l'shevach. That was the concept that we discussed last time. The Tosas raises the beginning of Tosas Mikan. It originally, when it first became fleishik, that fleishik was l'shvach. When it first became milchik, that milchik was l'shvach. Here's the way the Grah presents it. But when it never became basar b'chalav l'shvach, it was fleishik, and then 30 hours later, the milchik arrived. So there was never a tam l'shvach of basar b'chalav. We never created, going back to Simon Pei Zayin, the very beginning, we never created a cheft of basar b'chalav. So the pot is fleishik and it's milchik. So it's fleishik, so I can't use it for milchiks. It's milchiks, so I can't use it for fleishiks. But it's not basar b'chalav. It's basar with a vav, chalav. But not basar b'chalav. So the Ramah says, you can use it for parv. You can use it for parv. So that's what the Gra explains again clearly in Se'if Katan Hay, using again the concept of tchilas habiyah l'shvach that we had seen in last week flowed from the bottom of Tos Nayin Vav and Alf, and then the Vilna Gaon sends you in that direction. The Shach raises, and let's see how the Shach unpacks it. The Shach says, Keder also vashba labasav l'chala fisha hi balua mishnehim. This Keder has absorbed both. Both basar and chala. Hilkach asal vashba basar chetchila. I can't cook meat in again. Even after ma'es la'eth mi bishl zef, I wait another 30 hours. So it'll be ene ben yom of milchik, ene ben yom of fleshik. So still, kemosh asal vashal chalav l'chetchila b'keder shal basar, ach ma'es la'eth. I'm not allowed l'chetchila to use this fleshik pot for milchiks. So even though it has a fleshik sticker on it, once I used it for milchiks once, I have to put a milchik sticker on it. So even if I wait another week, it's ene ben yom of milchik, ene ben yom of fleshik, still asal l'chetchila both. I wouldn't say, well, this is basically a fleshik pot. No, I say it's both. It's ene ben yom of milchik. If I wait, it's ene ben yom of fleshik, so I'll wait another 24 hours with ene ben yom of milchik. Mihu, im bishul ba'basar, toch meis le'ez, le'bishul ba'chalav. If I cooked fleshik now within 24 hours of this forbidden use for milchik, pshita dav tav shul asa, okay? As long as the chalav is ben yom, it's a problem. It's going to make even problems b'dievet. If I use this for milchik the second time, pshita the mutter b'dievet. That was mutter the first time, mutter the second time. And how about shar dvarim she'enu lo shel basar v'lo shel chalav? Something which is parav, neither milchik nor fleshik. You go in your rakos, v'dagim, v'dagim, v'kai gavna, vegetables and fish, mutter levashabu afilu chatchila. That's what the Shach points out, Rama says here. And then he points out, however, l'kamon simin sadi dalet sifhei, kosav harav, d'no hagin le'asar, k'lishen ben yomo afilu l'shar dvarim. The Shach says, this whole paradox, we've spent the last number of minutes wrapping our heads around, that this kli, it was used for milchik only once it was ene ben yom of the fleshik. So it's fleshik and it's milchik, but it's not really treif. I'm allowed to use it for parva foods. He says, Rama here says you're allowed to use it for parva foods, but to turn to simin sadal, turn to the next simin. Simin Sadal Sifei, there it says you shouldn't. The other Shulchan Aruch talks about you had a parva pot, and you cooked vegetables, and you stuck in a milchik spoon. And then you use the same parva pot, and 2 hours later, with a fresh set of vegetables, and this time you put in the fleshik spoon. So this may be an issue. This may be an issue. And the Rama near the end. Rambam near the end talks about a case you had a benyomo, a pot, or that you had a milchik ladle that you stuck into ain't a benyomo fleshik pot. So he says everything is mutter, but noag in lahachmir. He says you should eat the food to get alongside that which is. We've got to figure out what to do with the food. We'll get to the details when we get to side out. Ve'le'esar hakli she'ena benyomo. And we would treat the kli which is not a ben yomo as aser. That's the minhag to treat as aser, not merely the Shach points out as milchus and fleishik, but as treif. So what do you do? We spend so much time thinking about this paradox, and then the Rama associates himself. Here the Rama says it's mutter with parv, and there it says aser with parv.
Yeah, but in the very last few words it says.
Very good. So David points out, well, the Rama there says, that's a chumra midina hakol shari. Now, he didn't say that here. He just said shar dvar mutter without any qualifications. So the Rabbi Shach says, yeah, tzarech lomer dekan, here back in the Simin Sai Gimel, the end of Sif Katan Gimel, tzarech lomer dekan sosam hadvar mul inyan dina. What does that mean? Kan sosam hadvar mul inyan dina. I mean, here, he just is telling you what the din is.
Right.
He's being so sane. I mean, he's not specifying, well, mikar din, yeah, but minig not. In other words, here he's just giving what the din is. Nikra din it is mutter. That whole paradox, don't let go of that whole paradox. That whole paradox is absolutely true. The cheshbon that the Gra had laid out, it is absolutely correct. It didn't become treif, it just became milchik and fleishik. So it can either, therefore, it's milchik, so it can't be used for fleishik, because fleishik can't be used for milchik. But again, since the milchiks only hit when once the fleishik's in ben yomo, it never became treif. That's true mikra hadin. But the minig is lahach. And again, it took us so much time to understand the paradox, it's not hard to understand why minig developed that this is, you're asking for trouble, and people are going to, people are going to make all these chesh. Oh, well, if that's mutter, this is mutter. Next thing you know, the slippery slope is definitely here. So Chazal never forbade it. Not only is it not awesome in the Torah, it's not even awesome in Drabanan, but it developed that we just kasher the kli. Don't use it for parv either. Just kasher the kli. Don't ask for trouble. So that's Mi'ikar din is mutter. Mi'ikar din is mutter. And obviously the kli is not going to make anything treif b'dyeved. It's anybody else. But even though Mikra did mutter, you use such a funny milchik and fleishik, but not treif kli with a parv. Mikra did mutter, but the minig is lahach. Okay, so that's the first fresh issue in this siman, this fascinating paradox. And again, to mention once again, and we'll see this again, siman Sayyidal. This is only true, this paradox is only true when the fleishik kli was first used for milchik only after the ein b'yomo fleishik. But if you use the fleishik kli for milchik toch me'is le'is to fleishik, so then it became mamash treif. The mikra didn't treif. That was tchilas b'liyas basa b'chalav, was l'shvach. So then if you use it again within 24 hours for any food, even parv, it makes it treif. Because you'd be mavliya, unless you bitl b'shishim, because you mavliya basa b'chalav into the power of a food. That's treif. And if it's ein b'yomo, so then it's not going to make the food treif, like any ein b'yomo. But it would still be forbidden, the chatchila, to use even with power of it, because it's not just a milchikli or a fleishikli, it's an usrikli. If the meat and milk entered within me'es le'es of one another. Okay. Now the rest of the sif is a Ramah. After the first line, the Ramah moves on to talk about pot lids. So let's actually do it out of order. I think it'll work more smoothly to do this out of order. There are three parts to this Ramah. Sif Aleph, I recall. There's only one sif, and then Siman Samgil. So there are three parts to this Ramah. We already saw the first part. Shar Dvar Mutter. That one line, that was part number one. Parts two and three are about pot lids in particular. But not about pots, I'm also about pot lids. So let's, for the moment, skip part two and let's jump to part three. In my printing, it has there's a two dots. I don't know if all the printings have a two dots. It's at the part three. I'm calling part three of the Ramah. Begins at Os Ches of the Gra, the Im Lakhu. And this part three will be Chazara of what we already saw near the end of Siman Tzadik Beis. Then we saw this original Tzadik Beis. As I mentioned, now we get to Siman Tzadik Gimel as well, the Gra in both places. Now we get to see this. Let's see part three, which will review some Yesodos, and then we'll go back to part two, which is an interesting Chiddush of the Ramah. See here again. Vimlachu kiser roseach, mekidere shal basa, v'nasnu osoa kidere shal chalav. You have a lot of pots on the stovetop. And things were getting a little confusing. And you have fleishiks going, you have milchiks going, it's freilich. And you took a hot pot of fleishiks, you take a hot lid off a fleishik pot, a kisri rosech, you took it off the keder shel bazar, the nusnu oso al keder shel chalav, and you stuck it onto the milchik pot. So what would you say? Do lids also convey tam in the same way that pots do? So the Ramah says, in principle, yes. Im shnehem chamin, shnehem asurim. If both are hot, both meaning the fleishik lid and the milchik pot, so both become treif. Im yesh machal b'keder shel basar v'chalav. It's a little confusing language. If there's food in the keder of basar v'chalav, what he means is if there's fleshik food in the fleshik pot and milchik food in the milchik pot, and you move the lid from the hot fleshik pot to the hot milchik pot, so that lid was fleshik. It just got an infusion of flesh and flesh pot. You put on the milchik pot, so now the lid became treif, and the milchik pot and the milchik food became treif. Because what? Because why? Because we're assuming that there is a transfer of flavor, bi-directional transfer of flavor between the lid and the pot. And this is what we had discussed right in Simon Sadi Beis. This is an example where the flavor, unlike Simon Sadi Beis, we have the open pan of milchiks and the meat up above, where it would appear, I said according to many, that it's only one directional. But here, a lid on a pot, but you have thick steam, so there's flavor going in both directions. Again, this is the shot, the Gron Sif Katan Ches. We had seen this as well when we learned Simon Sadi Beis. The Mishnah of Machshirin spoke about the lid on the pot and the assumption that there's the Mishnah Machshirin spoke about the assumption that steam could steam of tamei fluid will convey tumah. Okay, so here too, steam of milchiks will convey milchik, and it'll be bidirectional. It'll not only will the milchik flavor go up into the fleshik lid, make the fleshik lid treif, but it'll also draw, the steam will also draw the fleshik flavor out of the lid and bring it down into the milchik pot and make the milchik pot treif. Im shneim chamim shneim asur. If both the lid and the pot are hot, they're both asur. Now, watch which other yesodos Rama brings in here as well. How about if the pot lid is cold, but the pot is hot? I have a hot pot of milchiks on the oven, and it's not covered. We need a cover, so I go searching around in the cabinet for a lid, and I pulled out the wrong lid. I take a cold fleshig lid out of the cabinet and put it on the hot pot of milchiks. Also shnei masur. Also, if there's already steam coming up off of the lid, I take like, oh, I'm here as a minute later, oh, gewaldik. That's what I'm doing, a fleshig lid in a milchik pot. I pull it off and I see there's already steam building up. So that's a problem. Again, that's highlighting that that it's the steam that's conveying the flavor. And the Shach points out, as we said earlier in Simon Sadi, that the steam has to be a yasala as well. Why did Tata Gavar? Here, go back to Simon Sadi Aleph. This is, as I said, a blend of several different yesodos. He says the pot is the Tata, is the lower item. The lid is the Ilah, the upper item. So we pass from Tatura Machlik is Rav and Shmuel in Ketzat Zol in the seventh parak of Psachim. I was learning Daf Yomi. Already past that point? No? Ninth? All right, much past that point. Almost up to the ayins in Yuma. So the seventh parak of Pesachim is it. We pass machlek is rabbi shul. We pass in tatar gavar. So if as long as the pot is hot, doesn't matter whether the lid is hot or the lid is cold, there's going to be full transfer of flavors. The im hakiso ichama keder tonenas. But if it's reversed, I have a cold pot of milchiks, and I put on a hot fleshed pot lid on, hakol shari markamachol tzarech klipa. I'm assuming that this follows the classic rules of cham l'toch tzoni. We see putting a lid onto a pot as the lid is the ilah. So hot lid onto a cold pot is cham l'toch tzoni. We paskin ikra, we paskin fundamentally there isn't blia, but Lamaisa, since the top is hot, so you need a kedei klipa. So he says that's kedei klipa of the food. Im efshar lakalfo. If it even lends itself to peeling, it has to be a solid, it has to be like a pot roast or something. But if you have a pot of soup, im lav, it's not peelable. There isn't a peeling. Klipa only makes sense. I think we saw this right in Simon Sadi Aleph. Right? Klipa only is only meaningful if you have a solid food where there's a certain outer layer that stays in place. But if you have liquid and it's all roiling and moving around and circulating, so there is no klipas and everything is lava kol shari. Okay. And then finally, here's yet another yisod that the Ramah works in to this discussion of putting one lid on another pot, in addition to thinking about Zeya, and in addition to thinking about Ilal Gavar and Tatal Gavar, he also mentions one more item. Because he had qualified before, this whole discussion with putting the fleishik lid in the milchik pot is if there's actually fleishik food in the fleishik pot. There's milchik food in the milchik pot. Why? Because now he tells you, well, what if that's not the case? If I put a hot fleishik lid on a hot milchik pot, but it's empty, there's nothing there. I was just getting everything ready. But I hadn't put any food in yet. I don't know. Or getting the sternos ready. And but there's no food, there's no water, there's no food, it's just everything's empty. So even though they're both hot, it doesn't, there's nothing. That's the din we also already saw. And again, it said that that's why, that's how the double wrapping foil works. If two kalim touch without any medium, without any liquid, without any grease, without any food in between, there will be no flavor jumping across. If I put down a fleishik pot, a hot fleishik pot, on a countertop, a milchik countertop, me'ikra adin, there is no transfer of flavor. We are machmir lechatchila to avoid that. Use trivets, or to have a milchik counter and a fleishik counter. We're machmir lechatchila because you're holding a hot pot with two hands, you're not going to be able to check and make sure that the countertop is dry. Well, if the countertop is wet, now you have a problem. But if it's dry, there's no transfer of flavor. There is no transfer of flavor. So even if you have a hot, not only two pots to touch on the outside, even a hot pot lid on a hot pot, but if it's empty, there's no transfer of flavor. Seems like an odd thing to do. But even if they're both ben yomo, is nothing needs to be kasher. Okay, so that was part three of the Ramah, in which again, in thinking about pot lids, it was a chance to review and apply the yisod of Zeya, the yisod of Yatzel Letters Bo, the yisod of Ilaga or Tatagava, of Chamatov Tzon versus Tzon Tavcham, and finally the yisod of Eina Bolua Yotze below Roteb, which applied as shtei keder shenagu zubazu, if they're clean and dry in between, there is no transfer of flavor. Now let's go back to the one part of the Ramah that we left out, part two. Up until now, he was talking, everything was mikradin. And now he says, let's go back to where we left off up top, at os vav of the Vilna Gaon, if that helps you to find the spot. The din kiser kedera kedin kedera atzma. Okay. He starts by saying, this is we saw implied in part three, that we already saw, and here he says the Befesh has how he leads, that the lid has the same din as the pot itself. The lid has the same din as the pot itself. Okay. Then he says, well, yesh machmirim bekisui lo ma'afa pisha eno ben yomo dinu ki ilu haya ben yomo. Some have the practice of assuming that the lid is actually more chamer than the pot. The lid is more chamer than the pot. How is that possible? The pot touching the food. The lid is not touching the food. Okay, yeah, Zeya. Okay, Zeya is the same as the chiddush, that Zeya is equivalent to the food. The lid is worse, and worse in what way? That a lid which is an eino ben yomo still makes treif. That I have, in other words, just consider the scene. Right, we're making, you're making chicken soup and it's not covered and now we need to cover it so it can really start to boil. So I grab a lid from the cabinet and I stick it on. I notice 20 minutes later, well, something looks funny about that. Oh, that's the milchik lid. I haven't used a milchik pot in 3 weeks. I haven't used a milchik pot lid in 3 weeks. Yeah, I would have said, maybe you have to kasher the lid. Again, that goes back to the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. and anybody yom fleishik pot, I used it with milchik, so now, or anybody yom milchik pot, I use it with fleishik, I have to kasher it, but it's not going to make anything else treif, it's anybody yom. Says Rama, oh, but some are macher, but a pot lid is more common than a pot. An anybody yom pot lid is a staz of ben yom. Now, we spoke about, there are exceptions to the din that anybody ben yom is a nosan tam of gam. One exception that we'll get to at the end of Bas Machal, another after the summer, the Simin Sarivav, is Davrachar. Okay, that's based on Gemara. Have to see how far that applies. Another is the issue of Chametz Pesach. Okay, so that relates to the idea of assuming the Chametz Pesach is Ein Batel Mashu. But here the Rama says there's a third exception to the Din of Ein Ben Yomo. Potlids. Potlids? What's the great yichus of a potlid? So the Rama says, what's his response? He begins by saying, Yesh Machmir, some are Machmir. So I'm not at first sure how to take that. Well, that's something, Yesh Machmir, and what? And we say what? And we say what? So he says, Chenog and Miksas Mokamos. Okay, some places have that minig. Again, it sounds a little lukewarm. That's what I do. Ooh. So that sounds like a pretty ringing haskama. But then, he looks like he does a double backflip. Who chumra below tam. That's a chumra with no basis. There's no reason for this. Wow. So first he sort of said, well, there are those of us. So, some kaimus. Then he says, thumbs up and thumbs down. That's my minig. And then he says, chumra below tam. When we call makom the makom sheishum tzad lahatir, then right now we're not sure. So is he saying you should be machmir to trafe up the food? I had the anybody on milchik potlid on the hot chicken soup. So we should be throwing out the chicken soup if there's in bit of sheishum. We should not. So where do we stand? So well, let's see, let's keep going. The answer will lie at least partially in the vaitrinus. The Kamakab Bakum still, despite whatever we just said before, however, if some additional reason to make Balavachi, there's some other argument to make for why this should, some other Shita in this particular case that argument to be Matir. Or is a great Sorech to be Matir. Is it Sorech Shabbos, or Hefsid? This is a chicken soup for Shabbos. This is the food for Shabbos. So that's the reason to be more mako. Or hefsin. This isn't just half a pot of chicken soup. This is a whole roast. We're throwing a whole roast because of the eini ben yomo milch palid. And then yesh lahatir im ein hakisa ben yomo kemo b'kidei rat. Then you can be matir. If any other tzad, in other words, what was the maskana from before? There's no other tzad, lahatir. So then, right, really, he's saying, you should be machmer. You should be machmer. In other words, Rama is saying, I am machmer on the pot lids. They ain't even yom a pot lid. Even though it's a chumra below tam. It's really hard to find any basis for it. So since it's hard to find a basis for it, so that's why we follow the minute, but we're willing to make a b'makim tzorech, like Shabbos or Hefzi. We're willing to make a together with any other sniff l'hakam. Some other tzad. So there's some other reason why this particular scenario is another argument to make the matter, so then we can be make. Wow. That's interesting. That's my minute, but chum below tam. How do you resolve those? So the truth is, if you look back in Darkei Moshe, the Rama in his Darkei Moshe on the tour, here in Sivkat Beis, he says, some of the earlier Ashkenazi, Chachmei Ashkenaz quote this. And he finds it very difficult. And he says, this is a very, very difficult kula. And he says, Mikra din. Mikra says, you shouldn't machmir on others, you want to machmir yourself. It says, "Chozen yom b'tumbakum she'ein minag." A makum she'nogul hachmer ein l'shanos. In a place where there is, if you're in a community that doesn't have a particular minag, they say you only have to be machmer. But if you're in a place where is the minag l'hachmer, you have to respect the minag hamakum on this issue. He says, "If I could, I would." Yashar cheli avat la minag. If I could have mevatel a minig, but he's not willing to mevatel if it's a minig hamakom. So that's Rambam's consistent. Apparently, Krakow in Poland, that was a minig. Sas makomos, as he says, and apparently his makom was one of those makomos. So v'chen, that's what it means. V'chen ani noheg if minig haminig is an echo of what he wrote in Darkei Moshe. If you're in a makom where that's the minig, then you have to follow this minig lahachma. Unless there's some other argument. Now the how does this so Lamaisa, where does that leave us? What's Minig Bergenfield? What's Minig Bergenfield on potlets? What's Minig Bergenfield on potlets? And what does this mean? If it's Mamash Chumra B'lotan, there's no reason for it. It sounds like it's a Minig Tos. Minig Tos you don't follow. Yeshiva's gonna be learning Bava Basra this coming Zman. Starting El. So that's one of the first concepts. The opening concept in the Masechet Bava Basra. The Mishnah talks about you were building a wall that fell down between a boundary wall between two neighbors. The Mishnah talks about how thick the wall has to be. That, so what do you mean? Whatever it is. And the Mishnah says, Kol k'minig ha'makom. K'minig ha'makom. So whatever k'minig ha'makom is, why are you giving numbers? So the Chachmei Ashkenaz explain, no, because minig is only binding if it's meaningful. If it's meaningless, I'm silly. Our minig is we use 3 feet of reinforced concrete. That's ridiculous. There's no reason for that. So minig isn't binding, it's a minig betos. So what's Rama saying here? It's a minig, something's a minig betos, but it is binding if that's a minig makom. Why? So you take a look at the shach, we'll close the shach. Very, very fascinating shach. And it will impact, it'll speak to that, it'll also impact halacha l'maaseh. The shach and sivkat and dalit. Me with Taras Chatas, we already saw two Svarim of the Ramah. Ramah is Hagah Shulchan Aruch, and Ramah in his Dark Emotion of the Tour. He also wrote a third Sefer in Halacha, a freestanding Sefer Halacha called Taras Chatas. He wrote on philosophy and on Kabbalah as well, Taras Ola, Taras Asham. In terms of Halacha, the three major Svarim are Hagah Shulchan Aruch, the Dark Emotion, and the Taras Chatas. The Shach says, if you look at the Taras Chatas, Ramah actually does give some explanation. He writes, Kitsas Tam L'dasa Machmir. He gives a little bit of an explanation. Why? A little bit of explanation, again, is a suggestive terminology. We're not getting overly excited about this, but I can knock some sense into it. Shem Desfir Lohu Dechomir Yisr Zeya V'reichem Yisr Shoyde Tam Be'atzma. Well, maybe Zeya is more chamer than direct flavor of food. But again, well, that sounds like he's kicking the can down the road. Well, why? Why is that true? So Marshal, the Isra Hetzer Shalom, the Marshal, is Docha this, but then he gives a reason, which I have to figure out, maybe this is what the Ramah was really driving at also. The Chasav who? He says there was a Marshal mentions a different explanation and doesn't like it. That seems to drive against the Ramah. Because of who the Davka Osen Kisuyim Shehem Kitzar Milamaila. Interesting the suggestion the Marshal has. Maybe this whole Chumrah is when you have a lid that so that inside it narrows to like a little conical space. Yeshben Ke'en Chalal. It's not, the inside of the lid is not smooth. It has like a nip, almost like a nipple. So there's a spot in there where, and why does it matter? Why does the shape matter? It says this is a common shape. Many pot lids at the time were made like that. The aziyef shalakan chum yafet. It can be hard to clean it well. You're going to have all that. Every time you use the lid, there'll be condensation on the lid. And if it has a sort of groove, a concave groove on the inside, so it's like a pointy groove, so then over time there's going to be gook settling in. I guess this is before modern sponges and detergent. People cleaned dishes, but they didn't have the same technology. They didn't have hot running water or running water of any type. So then it's you're often going to have buildup inside the pot lid. But if they're wide, if they're smooth, they are easy to clean well. And that's what the Rama seems to, the Shach seems to wrap up. You notice he says, he quotes the Ape Raverve, takes Rama a step further, near the end of the Shach. If you're stuck, okay, you have some ruba or Shabbos, or sheish otzad lahatir. There's some other halachic argument in this particular case. Maybe it's anyhow mutter because we're not so sure it's milch, it's fleishik, whatever. A safik whether it's ben yomo. A safik whether the food is the food is the fleishik milch. Let's say oh bekisui rachav oh nakuv lamaila. Or if it's a flat, smooth lid without that sort of conical space, or even if it isn't, but it has a hole. So you don't just have buildup. You have, there's a vent, so then near a lahakal. He says, after all, the Ramam said, Moshe, Sava kikruch ha-minig hazeh, and he ended by saying, Ayasher chele avatel ha-minig. Ramam says, if I had the strength to do it, I would cancel the minig tos, in lo tamas mochalav. The Teres of Levush also was unhappy. This Karatago Chormuzu. It seems to be Maskana that our lids. What's Minig Bergenfield? Minig Bergenfield. There is no Minig Bergenfield because the case doesn't come up in Bergenfield because it's been quite a while since pot lids were made with this sort of indentation. If you have such an indentation, it seems to be the upshot of the Shach to accept Marshala. The whole Minig. It's only Hakumai Eskina, and we have this sort of nook in you have a pot lid with inner nooks, and then you're really worried about buildup. Much as, we'll see more when we get to Simon Sarivav, there was often a concern, at least according to some Rishonim, that you had to assume that knives were not clean. You had to assume that knives would have residue on them. When we get to the discussion of Simon Sarivav, we'll have to see. Some Rishonim understand that the issue with knives is that they're often not clean. The knives often had grooves in them. They weren't often made with the same smoothness that our knives have. And it was a scary thing to really scrub a knife because you care about your fingers more than the knife. So if you don't have, again, if you don't have hot running water and you don't have modern detergents and you don't have modern sponges, so clean a knife really well, that's, it's not for the risk averse. So oftentimes knives were not fully clean on the surface. Forget about bleias. So that's that's rarely an issue because we have the technology to easily clean knives in a way that's both very thorough and entirely safe. So it sounds like there's sort of a similar thing going on here with a pot lid. Yeah. So back in the old days, the pot lids were often made in a way that between the type of clean technology they had. And the inner shape of the pot lid, you would end up often with the gooky spots. Similarly, even let's say in Halachas Hagala, in the Tafsim Nav, Tafsim Beis, in Archaim, Hilchos Pesach, they point out if you have there are certain kelim that are very hard that we would not generally kasher because we're worried that there be stuff stuck in the grooves. That's sometimes even the case nowadays. You have sifters and sieves and things like that. They have lots of teeny tiny holes. It'll often be difficult, if not impossible, to get them fully clean. And you cannot, rule number one, you can't kasher if there's still food adhering to the outside of the kli. There's something similar here. So we're worried if it's this sort of medieval shape of a pot lid, then there used to be a real concern that there might be some residue. But our pot lids are, I think, as clean as our pots. Yeah, Asher.
But does that mean that even if there is still food bane that's still only a chumrah to be machmir? Because that's been some point.
Ah, that's a good point.
There is food bane and everyone would say it's aser, or there's not, and then there's no tzad to be machmir.
Yeah. Asher is asking a very sharp question. Why is not... Yeah. If you give me such a good time, the time was now too good.
Right.
Such a good time that should be aser mikadim. Wait, I have a lid that mamash has milchik, has butter on it. And I says, of course. So of course it's a problem. Yeah. So why, if indeed there is residue inside the pot lid, given the shape of the pot lid and so forth, why is it only a simitam chumr?
Does that mean that
He's not saying this by a specific pot. He's saying this by general, because lids have this concern, so we have to be machmir any lid.
Yeah. If you would have said that, you'd say maybe that's what Rama is saying. Since some pots have the remachmir on all. Yeah, although the Marshal is saying it's only, the whole chumrah is only by the lids with this type of a shape. And the shach and the kor da'api rabbi seems to be going that way also. You're right. If you would have said that since there are some lids that are like this, the minhag is we asr all the lids, yeah, so that would be certainly not asr medina, but minhag. But it sounds like even when you're dealing with these lids, sounds like saying, if it's a smooth lid, it's not a problem, even mitam minhag. But if it's a lid with a nook, so then an inner nook, so then it's asr mitam minhag. So why is it only asr mitam minhag? Why is it asr mitam
minhag?
Yeah, so that might be one. So one suggestion is a residue. So it's not to say anybody yomo, but at some point the residue has been there for weeks and weeks and weeks. At some point, if you were to taste it, you would know. If it tastes like earwax. So it's not going to oscillate anything. So that's one possibility. Is who says that? Yeah, there's some residue. But who says the residue tastes like anything? Tastes like anything positive. Also, it could be that what we're saying is, assuming it has a nook, the minig is to asser it, even though you haven't even looked to see if there is anything there, or even if there isn't anything there. But since the lids with nooks often have stuff, so the minig is we always asser it. And then a third possibility, sort of akin to what you said before about it may be pogum, it also may be bat moshishim. How much stuff is there already? Mishar connected what the 2 milliliters of even if it's delicious, tasty parmesan stuck in the how much is there already? A couple of grains. For sure bat moshishim. The minhag is, it doesn't matter how little it is, doesn't matter if there's nothing there, doesn't matter if it's at this point it's a terrible flavor, it's been baked over so many times, either they're flavorless or horrible, the minhag is, if you have a nook that may have, the minhag is in that case, we treat it, we don't care about the lids of anybody else, but it may have a little bit of a drop of milk stuck in the lid. But Shach says, even that, okay, that, if it has such a nook, but the lid doesn't even have such a nook, it's a kisui rachav, it's a smooth, wide lid, so that we are not machmir for that. I think that's how we usually assume. The whole chumrah is, nowadays, is irrelevant, because we are not a makam that has a minig lachmir, because this never comes up. Were it to come up, you're doing some sort of medieval reenactment, and if that type of thing is your flavor, and you're cooking with medieval pots, and they talk, I have such a nook, or some other culture, and you have such a nook. So I don't know, but we have any minhag l'achmir. So I'm all saying, there's no minhag l'achmir. It's only a place you have the minhag. That's, again, chay no pnei minhag. I think, look at the dark emotion. It seems like Rama wasn't saying everyone should follow this minhag. It's I need no way, because I live in Krakow, and Krakow is a minhag. Bergenfield has no minhag l'achmir. We have no minhag l'achmir. We have no minhag at all. Never comes up. If it came up, I don't know, so then we'd probably go and make right then. As you pointed out, you look in the lid and take a seat. Is there food there? How much food is there? What does it taste like? And let's start, but we're not going to be mishar with shishim connected the whole pot lid. That lachar or not. Unless you say, well, yeah, that lachar or not. That lachar or not. Okay. So tam v'nishlam masimin sadi gimel. Hadron alach v'adroch alon. Let's just talk about, we'll come back at some point after Tisha B'Av. I'm not sure we'll come back later, Chodesh Av. We'll come back at the beginning of Chodesh Elul. But just to sort of sketch where we've been and what the rest of Hilchos Bas B'Chalav looks like. We've been talking several times about this pyramid, how we're on the sort of the far end of the pyramid, working our way down. So just to sort of sketch things out from Simen Sadi Beis, Simen Sadi Hay, the Simen Sadi Beis was, again, 0 degrees of separation in Bas B'Chalav. Based on the root in the mission of Chulun Kepches, Tipas Chalav, where the Basar and Chalav are in direct contact with one another. Simen Sadi Gimel has been about 1 degree of separation. Keder Shel Basar, Vashel Basar, Keder Shel Basar, Vashel B'Chalav, the pot is the one degree of separation. The milcha conflations aren't in the same place at the same time. First the tam baser went into the pot, and then subsequently the pot is being used for challah. Siman Sadi Dalid is going to expand on Sadi Gimel in two ways. Number one, the first part of Siman Sadi Dalid is going to move, is going to look at, continue with the one degree of separation, but shift from the pot, and the Rama already introduces the pot lid, to a kaf. The beginning of Sadi Dalid is, well, how if you have a spoon or a ladle? Why does it matter? Pot, ladle, saw the same thing. Well, as we're going to see, we get side out. That's actually very different, because now all of a sudden, sort of like with a pot lid, all of a sudden you have multiple kalim in operation at the same time. It's not. It's the milchik ladle is being put into the chicken soup. And after you milchik ladle in the chicken soup, you also have to deal with what you do with the fleishik. What do you do with the fleishik? Pot. How is that impacted? And plus, ladles aren't used in the same way that pots are used. So we're going to see things are going to begin to get. It's going to. The Siman Sadi Dalid is going to expand Sadi Gimel in that sense, talking about kaf as opposed to kadera. And then later in Sadi Dalid, we're going to begin to talk about 2 degrees of separation. But 2 degrees of separation when it's simultaneous. Let's say you have a milchik ladle and a fleishik pot and power of a food. So now, the milchik is one step away, because the milchik isn't here, just the milchik ladle. The fleishik is one step away. It's not really here, it's just a fleishik pot. And they're meeting in the middle, in the water, in the power of whatever it is, in the vegetables, in the pasta. So that's already 2 degrees of separation, but they're both here simultaneously. That'll be the second half of Siman Sadi Dalid. Milchik ladle, fleishik pot, and they meet together in the hot pasta. Siman Sadi Hei is what comes up perhaps more than anything else. There's 2 degrees of separation, and non-simultaneous. That's what we call dairy equipment. The milchik went into the milchik pot, and then the milchik pot was used for power of a food, and I want to put fleishik on my power of a food. It's pasta. Pasta made in the milchik kli. That's the sugya of not by not. That will be the focus of Siman Sadi Hei. Dairy equipment. Fleishik equipment, that comes up all the time. Then finally, the last two simanim, Sadi Vav and Sadi Zayin, will deal with other things off the pyramid. We'll be talking about knives and Siman Sadi Vav Mirtz Hashem, about Davar Charef and Siman Sadi Dalid. We'll talk about some of the other Gezeiros Rabbanim, particularly Milchik bread. So far we've had the chance to work our way through most of, Baruch Hashem, of course, of the last couple of months, most of Bas Buchal, most of Bas Buchal in terms of just terms of Simanim, Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, Pei Tes, Sadi Al, Sadi Beis, and Sadi Gimel, Baruch Hashem, six Simanim, 4 simanim to go, and in terms of yesodos, we've really seen the majority of the yesodos, and we're even 3/4 of the way over the pyramid. Baruch Hashem. Hopefully, the course of there's a plenty to chazer, that's for sure. There is plenty. I was not planning to give Maamar Kamos and Siman Sadi Dalid this week. I think there's a lot to chazer. It's worth thinking about how you want to structure that chazara. It's often like that when you learn it, so you sort of see brick by brick, piece by piece. Now you're able to sort of take a step back and sort of see the big picture. Some you may want to use the summertime chazar to go vayter al haseder the same way, to start from Pei Zayin to go vayter through, once again through the Gemara that we showed him in the Turbos of Shulchan Aruch. Or you might want to sort of structure things differently. For instance, you might say, let me see all the Gemaras first. Let me see all the Gemaras, and let me learn the Gemaras of Tosfos and Rush. So I see the big picture. And then, sort of, instead of doing sif by sif, sim by sim, and sort of do layer by layer. See all the Gemaras, and now that we saw a lot, all the Gemaras, all the Rush, and then see Tur Shulchan Aruch. So the restructuring, or thinking about it in sort of a different axis, a different dimension, may make it very, very rich. Or even to learn the Gemaras of Al-Seder. Start to go straight. The Gemara's that we saw. Not even Al Seder Simanim, but Al Seder Gemara's to see the Sugis in Giranasha, and see the Sugis in Kalabasar, to see them Al Seder, and may the elaborative rehearsal of sort of attacking the same material from a different perspective, from a different angle, I think will help us to put things together. The things we saw at earlier Simanim We weren't yet holding in Sadi Beis. Even when we learned Sadi Aleph before Sadi Beis, we weren't fully equipped to appreciate. Now, seeing things sort of from a different angle with more under our belt should hopefully be very, very enriching. And we really enable us to have come to Elzman with a much stronger Kenyan and much more equipped to dig into the what arguably are the most halachal ma'isa simanim, simon side down, simon side ahead. Chavir Yashikar, thank you so much.
Enjoy the summer.
Thank you.